हरिः ओम् गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रुण्वन्मोदिभिः सीदसादनम् श्रीमहागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु मामनुस्मरयुध्य च मय्यर्पितमनोबुद्धिः मामेवैष्यस्य संशयः मयि अर्पित मनोबुद्धि. अर्पित मीन्स सरेंडरिंग, हैंड ओवर, दट इज कॉल्ड अर्पित. सो फॉर एग्जाम्पल, इफ यू ऑफर एन ऑब्लेशन इन टू द फायर, यू डोंट लुक फॉर इट अगेन टू टेक बैक. सो जस्ट इट इज ऑफर्ड एंड सरेंडर्ड. एंड देन यू से श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु. Then once you say Shri Krishnaarpanamastu, it is not anymore yours. You should not say Shri Krishnaarpanamastu and put in the pocket. You should not do that. They do like that. Take some money, Shri Krishnaarpanamastu, put in the pocket. So, the arpanam means surrendering. So you have to surrender to Ishvara. Ishvara demands, he is a very demanding gentleman. Sri Krishna, he just demands a lot of things from you. He can give moksha, he gives infinitude. Moksha is infinitude, but he demands the finite. So you give the finite to get the infinite. There is always a price to pay. There is no free lunch. There is a price to pay. And what is the price? You can give, you see, really speaking, it is not really yours. It is just, it is in your command. You can give it. What is that? Manaha buddhihi. Sankalpatmakam manaha vicharatmika buddhihi. That is how they are defined. So, the emotions, sankalpa. Sankalpa is emotion. Sankalpa is just, it also just means the thought. So you hand over, in general terms, the thought to Ishvara. And then, to put it more specifically, what do you mean by handing over thought to Ishvara? Means think of Ishvara itself. How to think of Ishvara? You see, the thought has two kinds of flow. Ubhayato vahini chitta nadi, yoga darshana. Papaya vahati punyaya cha. Chitta nadi, the mind is like a flow of water, nadi, like a river. It flows. So the river flows, like that mind flows. While flowing, it can flow towards punya, or it can flow towards papa. Papa means wrong action, or wrong thinking. All action originates in the thought. Thought itself is the origin of action. At the subtle level, thought is the action. And then that thought manifests as a speech and action. So, the flow of thoughts could be twofold. One is, Papa Punya, I said, okay, that you leave aside. You look at it the other way. The flow is either towards the samsara or towards Ishvara. There is no third flow. Only twofold flow. So, the sankalpa, the thought process, the flow of thoughts is towards samsara. Like, for example, the thought process is of two kinds. One is incoherent thinking, second is compulsive thinking. In fact, we all have this problem of these two kinds of thinking. So incoherent thinking means there is no coherence, there is no connection. Mind will be jumping from one thing to the other. Discursive thinking process. There is no focus anywhere. like that. And the people, they when they go into that kind of thinking, they will be going in circles, never reaching any point of meaning at all. So that kind of incoherent thinking. So sometimes we sit and engage in that kind of thinking, and so the whole time is wasted and the mind gets fatigued. That is how it happens. Suppose we sit and discuss, the elections are 1 year away, 1 year or even more, 13 months away from now. And so the candidates themselves are not yet settled. There are a dozen standing in this line and another dozen in this line. Already CNN spends 60% of its broadcasting time on discussion. What is there to discuss? What is it that we are discussing? The candidate is not settled. On either side, there are 24 people in the field and the election is 1 year away. This is the pastime of rich people, I tell you. In India, we do things a little better than this. What we do is, the elections are announced in 1 month. For 1 month, we will be not talking. We will be blasting, abusing this, that. For 1 month, it is a free-for-all. No gentleman's game. It is a free-for-all. 1 month ho gaya, election is over, the result came, everybody is again calm and quiet, over. Don't talk one more word about it, over. He is the victor, so God bless him. Forget about everything, everybody goes to his place and they are again normal. No ground state they reach. This seems to be somewhat better. Here, when I came last season, they started this discussion. Then I wondered, when is the election? Oh, this year is election year? No, no, it is not this year. That is 2006. They said 2008 is the election. 2008 is election year. And in 2006 we are talking of, the present president must be feeling very bad about it. So this is what is called incoherent speech. There is no focus anywhere. Incoherent, no purpose is there for the speech. There is no goal to be accomplished. Substitute the speech with the thought, incoherent thinking. And we do that. We sit and then go on discussing this. Suppose we sit and discuss that instead of discussing Gita. What are we doing? Are we doing anything, any service to ourselves? Any good to ourselves? No. So we should avoid wasting the mental energies on such meaningless, incoherent thinking about the things of the world. So think of it when you have to vote. In another 1 hour you have to vote. Think seriously. And go and vote. Your job is done. So that is how. Then that is okay. Then there is the compulsive thinking. The most dangerous thing it is. Once you are caught in the train of thoughts called compulsive thinking, so that thinking has a peculiar power. You cannot hold back against it. It is like a huge machine holds a person by the hand and drags across with terrific power. The compulsive thinking is like that. You just don't have any choice about it. So it is very painful. How we end up in compulsive thinking, most horrible thing it is, most painful. Giving rise to a lot of mental fatigue and nervous fatigue, makes us mentally sick. I mean, at the level of the mind we become sick, and then we become physically sick also. This is the compulsive thinking. Especially, the process called compulsive thinking happens in our minds when, on two occasions. Number one, in its priority wise I am putting them, when we hate a certain thing. I really hate a situation or an object or a person. In fact, we should not have any such thing in life. This hating should not be there at all. Because jvalanakaras chitta vritti visheshaha, that is hatred, dveshaha. So, it is like poison. So, the mind is, once I hate an object, what happens is I remember that object all the time. And then, once remembered, I cannot stop thinking about the object. It is not in my hands anymore. I have to think about it. In fact, the thought process has a peculiar power. It just goes on building upon itself. And thirdly, I become sad, sorrowful and fatigued at the end of it. Therefore, we should never develop any hatred towards anybody. Suppose, for some reason, people think that they hate a particular person or a thing very logically. It is justified. So as long as you justify your hatred and anger, you will never be able to get rid of it. The first thing is to stop justifying hatred and anger. Ill will. Stop justifying it. There is no reason, there is no justification at all. No, no, he has done a wrong thing. He might have done a wrong thing. And he forgot what wrong he has done. But you are injuring yourself more than what he has injured. So, we should learn to forgive. This is a psychological burden of unforgiveness. We should not carry with us. It's a huge burden. Forget about it. You will not be able to forget until you forgive. That's why it is said, forgive and forget. You see, it is like in police, if you go to police station, there will be some files which are closed. So the criminal is caught and he is put in jail and so the file is closed. No more investigation is pending. But then there are certain files which are open, which are not closed. 17 years back, in Central Park, one young lady was found dead. And so the file is still open, it is not closed. And somebody is doing some investigation on it even today. Some DNA evidence, this and that. So like that, we have so many files in our mind. So those files will never close. You have to close those files. So the way of closing the file is just... that person, you always think of the person because we develop ill will against the person. And so, you remember the person and bless him. God bless him. May he be prosper. May he prosper. Then the mind says, come on, how can you say that? Mind revolts. How should I say he, may he prosper? In fact, I want to see him falling down. I don't want to see him prosper. This is how the mind says. Now you tell the mind, shut up, and then you bless him, may he prosper. First time blessing the so-called enemy is very tough, very, very tough, because the mind revolts against it. But second time it is easier. Third time it is much easier. You do this, is a meditation, it is called practicing of loving kindness. Not towards wonderful, beautiful things. I love, oh nature, very beautiful, this park, I love it. That kind of practice you need not do. Why to do that waste of time? So I love my son, my brother, that also waste of time. You need not practice all that. So I love my pet, you need not practice. So you have to practice this. This person who has injured me, whether he remembers me or not, I always keep him in my mind. I always remember him. So now I bring him out and I bless him. May God bless him. May he prosper in life. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Sarve means not all, that particular person. That is the sarve. So may he prosper. So like that you bless him. Practice loving kindness towards him. Gradually you will be able to forgive him. And then you will forget. The file is closed. So one area of compulsive thinking has ended. So this is how we suffer under the burden of compulsive thinking. That's why we should not develop aversion for anything. Okay, this is nice. We will avoid all aversion. So we will keep attachment. That is the other thing. No, you should not do that also. In fact, all aversion has its origin in attachment only. First raga, then only dvesha. There is no dvesha independent of raga. Raga is attachment. You get averse, you become averse only when you get attached. That is the law. And therefore, so you should not leave attachment intact. you should address it. In fact, you should not get attached to anything. Then what about love? Love is different from attachment. Love is not same as attachment. Attachment means you want to derive psychological advantage from a relationship. That is attachment. You psychologically depend upon the relationship. That is dependency. And you want the other person to depend upon you psychologically. You want to see the other person dependent upon you because that gives you a sense of an image. So I am. That person depends upon me. The guru feels good that all the shishyas are dependent upon him. The shishyas feel good that the guru depends upon them. So it doesn't work. Guru-shishya or any relationship for that matter. So the codependency is not love. It is attachment. Anyway, so when there is no attachment, then there is freedom. And love can blossom only in a mind which is free. In a mind that is bound to attachment, there can never be real love. Some love is always there. I am not saying of some love. I am saying of pure love. Because only a mind in freedom can love. That is the law. Therefore, so no attachment to anything of this world. No attachment. Sri Krishna says, you search, because now Gita is on website, so download it and find, like that you give a command, it finds and says, there are 127 times this word is repeated. Like that, this kind of softwares are there. Therefore, do that and see. Veta raga bhaya krodha. Repeated how many times you search for it? It will say 11 times repeated. The same compound. Veta raga bhaya krodha. That is the sequence. Veta means got rid of. Just throw it away. What? Raga, attachment. Then what happens? Suppose you are attached to a thing. And the attachment is fulfilled. That means you gain what you are attached to. Because attachment leads to desire, you know. Jhayato vishayan pumsa sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kamaha. So, raga to kama, that is raga and kama are similar. Therefore, the attachment, you want to fulfill the desire, you want to fulfill. When it is fulfilled, you are afraid of losing it, bhaya. Right? When it is not fulfilled, you are angry and frustrated that it is not fulfilled, krodha. Therefore, if you eliminate raga, bhaya will go away along with it, because bhaya cannot stay where there is no raga. Krodha will go away. Dvesha and krodha are similar. It will go away. Because where there is no attachment, there cannot be any krodha. Mahatmas, they don't become angry. Suppose you abuse a Mahatma. You are a thief, like that you say. He doesn't become angry. You know why? He is not attached. To what? He is not attached to that ego's notion of a status. Ego has a status. I am this. I am a Mahatma. I am a great sannyasi. I am this, I am that. That is ego's status. And so there is attachment towards that status wala ego. The ego with status. There is attachment. And Mahatmas, they surrender that ego. That is the ultimate sharanagati. The ego is surrendered to Ishvara along with all its attachments. And therefore, when an abusive word is thrown at a Mahatma, it doesn't bounce back. There is no reaction. There is no response. The Mahatma is just transparent. It moves through him and it goes away. It doesn't bounce back. Because there is no attachment to status, name, fame, prestige, anything. There is no attachment to the body. There is no attachment to any sense of self derived from the body-mind. Therefore, they don't become angry. So it is the attachment which is the villain. And you may say, how can we live without attachment in the world? This is normal, in practical life. So how can there be no attachment? I tell you, we need things to live, not attachment. We need things, and things are available in Walmart. You don't need attachment. Go to Walmart and pick up a few things that you need and be done with it. You need not be attached to anything. Why should you be attached to the toothbrush? No, no, we are not attached to the toothbrush. To the new one only we are attached to the little, but we are not attached to the toothbrush. But I am attached to the golden watch. Don't have a golden watch in the first place. Just have a watch. And if there is a possibility of getting attached, don't have that object. Suppose you have a pen, a ballpoint pen. Will you be attached to it? No. Suppose it is a gold nibbed pen. You will be attached to it, so don't have it. Diamond necklace, I will be attached, so don't have it. Attachment. No attachment whatsoever. Then what happens? A tremendous mental energy is released. It is released now. And that energy is directed towards Ishvara. Mayyarpita manaha. Buddhihi. Vichara. Vicharatmika buddhihi. So, intellection is a power. We use it in all kinds of wrong things. First I say negative and then I say the positive. This is the scheme which Krishna follows. So we also follow the same method. So intellection is used, intellect as a power is used to discuss and delineate unnecessary things. Suppose elections are over. Now we use all our intellectual power to discuss and decide who is going to win. Why should you do that? Unnecessary, you know. Unless you are working in a cephalogist's office, then you have to apply some statistical models and then predict and all that. It is a job. So for bread and butter one has to do. That is a different thing. Otherwise, just leave it. Don't predict. Because even while predicting, you are taking a stand. You are taking a position. And when that position doesn't happen, you will be disappointed and you will become unhappy, I tell you. Don't predict. Just be a totally uninvolved, neutral witness. And let it come. So-and-so has won the election. Then don't say he should not have won the election. It is not good for the country. It is not good for the world. Don't say all those things. You just say, okay, that is Ishvara's will. And you accept it. Don't resist. That is how we have to learn to live intelligently in this world. That is intelligence. No, no, how he could win? He cannot win. Arey bhai, he has won already and he is going to take oath of office and you resist it. Mentally you resist it. While you resist mentally what is, there cannot be any unwise action on your part than that. How can you resist what is? What is the logic of resisting what is? You should never resist what is. Then what should I do? Should I accept? Whether you accept or not, don't resist. In fact, not resisting is called acceptance. It is not that you will go and hug somebody. That is not the point. You don't resist mentally. When you don't resist, the resentment won't happen. The resentment is generated from resistance. Mental resistance. So there is mental resistance because we are attached to a particular position. It should be like this. So all attachment, this attachment is a very dangerous thing. We are attached to all kinds of things. We are attached to a political party. Do you ever believe that a political party will make you happy? Is it possible? Any political party, will it ever make anybody happy? Is it possible? Never, never. Because politicians know only one thing, that is to divide. That is all they know. And in the division, there can never be happiness. Only in unity there is happiness, not in division. Because division is against the truth. So how, so why should you get attached to any political party for that matter? Any political party. Very wrong it is. I mean, wrong in the sense, it creates some acidity in the heart. That is how it happens. So, we should have no attachment, because it is all one mithya it is. Dvaita mithyatva nishchayaha. No, no, practical world. Don't tell any practical world and all that. I am telling practical only. In fact, what I am saying is practical. That is practical. So, no attachment whatsoever to anything. Then, a wonderful energy is released. And that energy, mental energy, is focused towards Ishvara. That is the negative. Then positive. How to focus towards Ishvara? Manaha and Buddhihi. Arpita. You see, one bhakta, the bhakta person, you know, he says, there is a gopika, you know, gopika bhakti. Gopika means this cowherd woman. And so she is cleaning the backyard. There is a home with a compound wall, and then there is a back door. And through that back door, you can come inside the home from behind. So that path leading to that back door from the home, she is cleaning. So somebody asked her, why are you cleaning that? So with a broomstick she is cleaning. So she said, Sri Krishna is the makhan chor. He steals the butter. So for steal, the thief won't come from the front door, you know. He comes from the back door. So this makhan chor, this is the one who steals the butter, he will come from the back door. And the path is full of weeds and so sharp thorns and broken pieces of stone, etc. So poor Krishna will be hurt when he comes to steal the butter. And therefore, I am making it clean so that he will not be hurt. This is bhakti. So here her emotion is surrendered to Ishvara. And then another gopika, she is arranging, you see, he has to steal it, you know. So it is put in a pot and kept above. It is hanging from above. And so one has to reach it with some difficulty. Krishna is a small boy, 5-year-old or 6-year-old, he cannot reach it. And therefore she is putting a small step ladder and then a small platform, etc. she is arranging. So that when he comes to steal, he will find everything ready-made for stealing. And so he will go up and steal and go away. And so she is arranging. There, she is surrendering her buddhi to Ishvara. This is how manaha buddhihi. The emotions are surrendered to Ishvara. Buddhi, the faculty of intellection, the logical thinking, is surrendered to Ishvara. So this is how Gopika Bhakti is understood. So, mai arpita mano buddhihi. So, you see, you may say, I have to hand over the mind and the intellect to Ishvara. How can I do that? If it is some chocolate-like thing which is there in my pocket, I take it out and hand over. How can I hand over the mind and intellect to Ishvara? You see, what you do is, what is the mind? What is the mind? You decide what is the mind. So, suppose you project an emotion, say desire, kama, that is mind. Krodha, anger, that is mind. Because kama, krodha, they are side by side. They are like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. One is there, the other is there. They are like that. So, kama is one asura, is kamasura. And the other asura is krodhasura. They are always together. So that's why kama krodha. Kama esha, krodha eshaha. Anyway, so krodha is another emotion. And these are the emotions, you know, similar emotions. Lobha. So that greed, another emotion. So all these emotions you hand over to Ishvara. Then you have handed over the emoting faculty to Ishvara. This is what Narada says in his Bhakti Sutras, one of the sutras. Kama krodhadikamapi tasminneva karaniyam. If you have the faculty of desire, you do have, that is what mind is. So withdraw it from the world and focus it on Ishvara. So it is how like this. Suppose we ask you to meditate. Then meditation. So this meditation, it is always a labor enforced upon ourselves. We sit. Then the body says, so move this way, that way. So sitting without moving is also a problem. You have to enforce it. So then you have enforced it, not moving. Then the mind has to be focused on the heart or whatever. Something you have to do, or a mantra or a nama. Then the mind is not willing to do it. It has many other things to do. What is this thing, unnecessary thing? Like that it is not willing to do it, so you have to enforce it. So as long as you enforce meditation, meditation continues to be an enforced labor, there will not be any success. I mean, that absorption won't come. And so the progress becomes slow. So we have to, so what should we do now? The meditation should not be an enforced labor. It should be a thing of love. I love to meditate. You should be able to say that. That you have to inculcate. You have to befriend meditation. Instead of befriending the world, befriend meditation. That means, now I am attached to meditation. I am attached to the book of Gita. I am attached to Gita class. I am attached to my prayers. I am attached to my mantra. This is how the emoting faculty called desire is directed towards Ishvara. Kama krodhadikam api tasminneva karaniyam. Then suppose krodha is there, some frustration is there. It is a, krodha means anger, but even frustration, irritation, they are all varieties of anger only at a lower level. So some frustration is there. It is bound to be there in everybody's life. Generally what we do when we are frustrated, generally we do become frustrated, and then what we do? We show it on somebody. Some scapegoat you find and show it. Generally in India, the husband shows frustration on the wife, and the wife shows frustration on the children. And if the children are in the school, she shows frustration on the vessels in the kitchen. So you can see some dents in the kitchen. So coffee pot has a dent, and the rice pot has another dent. These are all dents. So these are the effect of frustration. So somehow frustration you show. So the boss is frustrated, and so he shows his frustration on the junior officer. And so this junior officer, he keeps quiet. In India it is like that. It's a hierarchical system. That's why I'm saying, I don't know how it works here. So the junior officer, he is now frustrated because the boss has talked harshly with him. So he comes out of the room and shows frustration on his juniors. So this is how it will be going on. Hierarchical. Frustration percolates down. So this we should stop. All frustration, you carry it to Ishvara. This is Narada Bhakti Sutra. This is the secret of devotion. So take all your frustration and show it on Ishvara. So what should I do? If you want to abuse Ishvara, go ahead and do that. You can use four-letter words also if you wish. Kama krodhadikam api tasminneva karaniyam. Tasminneva, not tasmin. On Ishvara alone you show krodha, anger. You sit before Ishvara. You see, if you want to cry, cry before Ishvara. Be like Arjuna. That is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Vishada becomes a yoga, a means of reaching Ishvara. If this Vishada is affliction, this affliction, instead of directing it towards the world, you want to share your unhappiness with all the friends, then nothing comes out of it. The next time when they see you from a distance, they move on. So you don't get anything out of it. So, no, there may be some point in it. By sharing it, burden will be lessened and all that. Maybe that is some worldly wisdom, could be. I am not interested in that. So what I am saying is, I have sorrow. in my heart. I do have. So I don't want to share it with anybody. I will show a smiling face with others. Only I will share my cheerfulness with others. I keep this sorrow intact and I share it with Ishvara. Sit before Dakshinamurti and cry bitterly, you cry. Then this vishada, this crying becomes a yoga. Arjuna, vishada is a yoga. And in crying before Ishvara, in emptying your heart, bring out all that anger and all that sorrow before Ishvara, and then you surrender it to Ishvara. Ishvara, you created all this sorrow, take it back, it is yours. Then it becomes yoga. Then anger, any number of examples are there. I don't know. In Andhra Pradesh there was a saint, you know, Tyagaraja is a saint, saint singers, Mirabai is a saint, so like that bhaktas, Narsi Mehta from Gujarat, another saintly person, then Ekanath, Jnanadev, all these people, they are saintly people, and one such saint is there in Andhra Pradesh, his name is Ramadas, Gopanna Ramadas. He was so frustrated and so angry with Ishvara, with Rama. His name is Ramadas, with Rama. And then he abuses Rama with all his heart in that abuse. And all those verses are there. Even today they are sung with so much devotion in all temples of Rama. They nicely sing those verses. He says, "Hey Rama, that thing I have handed over to you, do you think it is your father's property? Dasharatha did not give it to you. I gave it. And what is it that you give in return to me? So this pain and suffering, is that what you give to me? I give so much wonderful things I bring from the world and hand over to you. Dasharatha doesn't seem to have given anything to you. He has banished you to forest. Whereas I am worshipping you and giving all these things to you as an offering. And you take all of them and assume that they are your father's property, and show me your back. What kind of a god you are? You should be ashamed of yourself to make me suffer like this. To hell with you. Fie upon you." He abuses. And these are songs of devotion. Because all abuse directed towards Ishvara. Ishvara doesn't mind. And so the one emotion directed towards Ishvara. The way you love Ishvara, or the way you show your emotions towards Ishvara, that makes a very strong bond with Ishvara. So this is lobha, greed. Suppose you have a notebook in which you have written your mantra or your notes related to Gita, etc. You are very greedy about it. You don't want to lose it. Suppose somebody says, "Please give that book." No, why you want that book? That book I don't give. If you want my purse, you take it. Whatever you want from it, you can take. But the book I am not going to give. What for you want that book? No, I will see. What is there to see? Pustaka Brahmavadinaha. Means for him, so one Mahatma told, "I don't know about Atma, Brahma and all that. For me, my book is Brahma." So that is how it is. So much love, so much greed towards the things related to our sadhana of Ishvara, our bhakti, devotion to Ishvara. Suppose you are worshipping a form, God's form, an altar. You are very greedy about it. When the entire house is burnt to ashes, you don't care, but as long as your altar is intact. This is Tyagaraja. He is very greedy about his altar. Everything else is lost, he doesn't mind. In fact, if you care to refer back, in New York Times, one article came, when there was a flood in Orissa, the hurricane came, and 10,000 people died. In India, it is all a game of numbers. 10,000 people died, just in a hurricane, 10,000 people died. You can verify, no exaggeration. And then, millions become homeless. And then they are searching for their belongings. So they lost everything. They cannot salvage anything out of that mud. So, in searching for their belongings, they are all devotees of Shri Krishna. Orissa coast, their devotion to Shri Krishna is supreme. Jayadeva, etc. They came, Bengal, Orissa, that is the belt where Krishna devotion is very popular. And so, their altar, a photograph, or a form of Krishna, or a few things related to that Harati thing, this and that, very, very modest stuff, not big, big things, made of some metal and alloy. So, when they find their face, it blossoms. There is a smile on the face. They have lost everything, and waiting for somebody to come and provide a few things so that they can start their life again from scratch. But they could retrieve or salvage the altar, Krishna's photo, which they daily worship, that is available. They did not lose it. Because it is a metal thing, you know. It sinks in water flow. It won't travel. And so it remained there. Everything else is swept away, but that remained. They are happy. The face becomes brilliant with a smile, joy, as if he got some wealth. So that is what is called lobha. So greed for things related to Ishvara. So that emotion. So if there is greed, the greed should be directed towards Ishvara. And this point was reported in New York Times. Their face was lit when they found their altars. The New York Times reporter has written it. In India they won't write. In India writing like that is supposed to be anti-secular, so they don't write. New York Times, the person doesn't have this hangover of secularism and all that. Therefore, he freely writes. I have kept that cutting still with me. Therefore, that is the lobha. So this way, all these base emotions, anger, sorrow, base emotions, not maybe painful emotions, they become means of reaching Ishvara if only we withdraw them from the world and direct towards Ishvara. That is that sutram, kamakrodhadikamapi, tasminneva karaniyam. Then buddhi, how to surrender buddhi to Ishvara. You see, buddhi is the power of intellect, and you have to put it to right use. Suppose we have studied physics or chemistry or economics or business management, etc., using the intellect. Now, is it not enough right use? It is not enough right use. It is some right use, I agree, but not enough right use. You have used the buddhi to its fullest potential only when you start asking a few questions. Till then, you have not put the intellect to proper use. As long as you use intellect, so in the coming months, which stock is likely to go up, which stock is likely to go down, so use statistical models and this and that, and then predict, and successfully that too. You have used intellect, but not to its real potential yet. Only one thing is there, where the intellect is used to its real potential, that is, what is this world? Why it looks like this? And it is ever changing. That is intellect already. Because people think that all the forms are permanent. That is a dumb-headedness, muddle-headed thinking. Now, there is no logic in it. All forms are crumbling. Every form is crumbling. Because form is like that. All forms are impermanent. So, when all these forms are obviously so impermanent, so what could be the permanent reality? So, even sun is impermanent. Sun is crumbling slowly. Daily, 5 million tons of hydrogen gas is getting converted into higher elements in the core of sun. And thereby, the hydrogen gas supply of sun is slowly coming down. That is what is happening to sun. So if sun is also changing and losing the character of being a star, then what to speak of other forms that are around us? So forms are impermanent. So if forms are impermanent, then is there any permanent reality for this world? If so, what is it? you find it out. Then your intellect is put to good use. Okay, what am I? Oh, I am this body. How can you be this body? How can you be this body? You are the one who perceives this body. Otherwise, the perceiver ends up identifying with the perceiver. What a mistake it is. It is a buddhi dosha it is. It is the worst mistake at the level of the intellect. The perceiver cannot be the perceived. He is the one who perceives the perceived. If he is the perceived, then there will be no perception at all. Therefore, I am not the body. Then, any sense of self derived from body, I am not. That is the next conclusion. My goodness, I thought I know what I am. No, you don't know what you are. Then I feel that I know what I am. What is that? It is an image that you have about yourself. Yeah, true, it is image. They call it also self-image. So I have an image about myself. Yeah, so am I not that image? No, how can you be an image? You cannot be an image, why? You cannot be a shadow. That is what the mistake you are doing. Image is the shadow. You take yourself to be the shadow and live the life of a shadow. There is a story in German folklore. There was one person. He came out morning 8 o'clock. It was a sunny day. In Germany, sunny day is a very big thing. That is what they say. It was a sunny day. So he was looking around and waiting for the bus or going somewhere. Then while looking around, he found that he doesn't see the shadow. There is no shadow. There must be somewhere shadow. So look at this side, turn to that side. He doesn't find any shadow anywhere. Then he investigated. Am I missing it? Is there sun? Yes. What is the angle of the sun? It is. So take a stick and put there. Shadow is coming. So then this body is like a stick only. So it should give shadow here. No shadow. Now what to do? He called a friend and told him, "Are boy, do you see my shadow anywhere behind or somewhere?" First he did not believe what is going on. He did not understand. Then slowly he examined. He compared with himself. His shadow is there. This person's shadow is not there. Then he ran away from there. Because this person cannot be a normal human being, you know. He has no shadow. So then the story continues. The news spreads all over the town, and so he moves away from the town because everybody shuns him in the town. He goes to the forest. Like that, the story continues. I don't know the full story details, I don't remember. But our situation is just exactly the opposite. We only have shadow, no reality. Whatever you say, I am, all this is shadow. I am a father, shadow. I am a mother, shadow. I am an officer, shadow. It is the body which is the father. The body is the husband of the body. Body is the wife of the body. Atma is not wife, Atma is not husband. So it is all shadow life. Officer, shadow. Californian, big shadow. Brahmanaha, shadow. Christian or religious identity, another shadow, problematic shadow also, not even then what am I? Yeah, what am I? I'm not going to tell you what are you. So if I tell, then that will be an image of you only, it will not be you. So you find out, explore, experiment with yourself, explore yourself and find out what are you. Are bhai, that is the life's goal. Iha ched avedi datha satyam asti. If only you know what am I, my God, your life is fulfilled. Na ched iha avedi mahati vinashti. If you don't do that particular thing and do everything else, it is the biggest loss. Suppose I make, say, $10 billion and become the richest person. $10 billion, richest. Now, will I live one day longer? Can I eat one morsel of food extra? One morsel of food extra? No. One day longer, I cannot live. And so that means when I cannot call something as my own, I cannot call all this wealth as my own. Because even when I say my own, amo, I will lose it. I will die or it will run away, whatever, whichever is first. So I cannot call it my own. Then when I cannot call it my own, then ultimately what is it that I have accomplished? So, very interesting thing it is. I used to know one Mahatma, one gentleman. He has bihatted a book, some poem, Telugu poem or whatever, some 1,000 verses. He has bihatted all of it, from this end to that end. And then he can recite it from the reverse direction also. And then people were stunned to see this power of mind. So you ask, what is the 29th verse? He will tell. Like that. And so they gave shows here and there. So people used to collect and so present him, introduce him. And so he will give a demonstration of his prowess, intellectual prowess. All people do this. And then some titles will give. So, Medhavi Chakravarti, one title. Like that they gave a few titles to him. And then they have put a gold bangle, some ornament, whatever, that also they gave. Some nice purse also they gave. So he was happy and going around for nearly 5-10 years. And then suddenly his power of thinking, slowly the cells, you know, the aging process started. So then they asked, okay, 67th verse, please tell. He told wrongly. He forgot it. Told wrongly. Oh, he is not doing it properly. Therefore they stopped this. So they were not coming in good numbers. He was in total distress, emotional distress. Because now he cannot attract the audience. They don't clap hands anymore. The titles, they don't give any further titles. So, and then he forgot all of it. Now he is a very, very unhappy person. So that means, even at the level of intellect, I collect some worldly knowledge, whatever, even that I will lose. The person remains, but he cannot say, so all this is my own. He cannot say that. He already lost it. If that is how you lose, then can you say this table is mine? Can you say that? This sofa is mine. Can you say that? And when you cannot say particular thing is my own, then what is the accomplishment there? There is only one thing that you can really accomplish in this life, and that is know the self and be the self. That is the only accomplishment. That alone will come with us. Everything else is dropped behind. And so all these worldly accomplishments, etc., we use, or whatever, we use so much of our intellectual power in all these worldly accomplishments. They are very superficial and very, very transient. Therefore, okay, life is there. We have to go about doing things, and so we have to fulfill some of our duties. So some of the intellect will have to go in that direction, let it go. But it is time to collect the power of intellect, integrate it, and use it in the direction of Ishvara. What am I? Atma and Ishvara are one and the same. Don't think that they are two different things. Only thing is, when you use the word Ishvara, we don't call it Jnanam. There is nothing like Ishvara Jnanam. There is only Ishvara Bhakti. You don't do Jnanam to Ishvara. How can you know Ishvara? Ishvara is the infinite. If you know God, He will be like you and me. That God that you know, He will be like one of us. He is not God anymore. Even while knowing the God, you have denied the God. Over. Therefore, nobody is going to know God. You can only be devoted to God. Ishvara Bhakti. So use the intellect in that direction. Then if you want to use the word Atma in the place of Ishvara, it is one and the same. But this time you should not say bhakti, you should say jnanam. Atma bhakti is wrong. Atma jnanam. Atma jnanam is the language of Vedantins. Ishvara bhakti is the language of devotee people. Both mean just the same. Both require your power of intellect. Only a human being has that kind of intellect. We have stories like Gajendra Bhakti and all that. The story, there also Gajendra is a symbol of human being only. Therefore, we alone are endowed with a faculty called intellection, which can soar to the heights of Ishvara Bhakti, the disinterested devotion towards Ishvara, which can soar to the height of, you have to become larger than the thought. And then you will come to know, you will begin to awaken and come to know your own true reality and be liberated. So that is the message. O man, know thyself and be liberated. That is the message. And so in that direction we have to use the intellect. For that alone, the power of intellect is sitting there. We have to use it. So, should we study Sanskrit? You should. Because power of intellect is meant for what? If study of Sanskrit is needed for knowing the self, then you should study. Suppose you don't study Sanskrit, then you will have to study English. Something or the other you have to study. So, we should not hold back anything. If Sanskrit has to be studied, we study Sanskrit. If Greek has to be studied, we do study Greek. Anything we have to study, we study. Gita has to be studied, we study. Mandukya has to be studied, we study. No, will we understand Mandukya? Did you try? You try? Why don't you understand? You try? You will understand. So, Shankara Bhashya is a challenge to the intellect. It's a challenge. At the same time, it is a fulfillment and it is a joy to the intellect. It is not just a challenge alone. It's a joy. As you accept the challenge, then it becomes a joy. So, we have to rise to that level of intellect. Okay. Suppose we surrender the emotions and intellect to Ishvara this way. Mai arpita mano buddhihi. Then what happens? You see, yatra yatra mano yati, tatra tatra samadhayaha, dehabhimane galite, vijnate paramatmani, yatra yatra mano yati, tatra tatra samadhayaha. So, as you surrender your emotions to Ishvara, and surrender your intellect to Ishvara in the knowledge of Atma, in the self-knowledge, then it doesn't matter. You need not do meditation anymore. Wherever the mind goes, that becomes a samadhi. Yatra yatra manoyati tatra tatra samadhayaha. Suppose mind goes to Manhattan, that Manhattan thinking becomes a samadhi. Anywhere it may wander, it becomes a samadhi. Because there is nothing in this universe for a devotee and for a jnani, there is not even a particle of this universe is there which is other than Ishvara, which is other than Atma. For a devotee, other than Ishvara. For a jnani, other than Atma. Just substitute the words. The substance is only one. So, you will abide in one continuous, unbroken contemplation of Ishvara or Atma and be liberated while living here. Mame vaishyasi. Now, asamshayaha. This is warranty period. The world, warranty, you know. People want warranty. They want a warranty for soap. They used to call it guarantee in my childhood. Now they are calling it warranty. I don't know in which way this word is superior to that. There must be some legal thing in it. So we want a warranty. For a soap, we want a warranty. Once, you see, in India, we purchase chappals on the footpath. Bata shop means already he is a crorepati. He is a millionaire, and if you purchase a Bata chappal, you are adding another 20 rupees to his pocket. So, whereas on the footpath he sells, they won't be very quality, but we don't want quality. In 2-3 months you can throw it and you can purchase another thing. It will be cheap also. and you will be giving some money to a poor guy. So I purchased one chappal. My chappal was already gone. So I thought I'd get it repaired. Then he said, "What repair, sir? You purchased the new one. This is I made just now, ready made." He prepares it. So I said, "How much will you give?" "How much? 100 rupees. Okay, I took out 100 rupees. I was taking out. Then I told, "Will you give guarantee?" Buddhi, you know. This guarantee, even while I said, I thought, "Oh my God, what is it I said? What a silly thing to say." He was an elderly person. That's why I was purchasing with him. He said, "Sahab, there is no guarantee for this body itself." That is what he said. Then I gave him 100 rupees and I received the chappals and I told him, "I learned one wonderful truth from you today. You are my guru. I have to give dakshina to you." And I gave him another 50 rupees. He said, "No, sir, I don't want what I taught you. You have taught me a great lesson. Guru dakshina I have to give, otherwise I will get papam. So this is guru dakshina. I don't have a fruit, otherwise I would be glad to give a fruit also." I gave him dakshina. I learned a lesson. So you need to have Shraddha. What is guarantee? There is nothing guaranteed in any such thing. But anyway, if you want some guarantee, you take it. Asamshayaha. It is a guarantee from Sri Krishna side. Mayarpita manobuddhihi mame vaishyasya asamshayaha. No doubt. Asamshayaha means no doubt. Guarantee. Warranty. So this is how we have to grow into pure devotion to Ishvara. That is the verse. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.